Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Not getting enough Triple M footy? Or did you miss something and need to go back and have another listen? Get the Triple M NRL podcast. It's available right now on the Triple M NRL app.
Sunday, a day to worship. Worship a small egg-shaped ball.
Oh no, he drops the ball.
Just as long as I'm here in your arms, I could be in no better place.
I've got to respect the ball.
You're simply
long live the weekend. Long live rugby league.
Woo! Oh, you gotta love your rugby league.
2, 3, 4.
Hey, ho, let's go. Nice to be with you on a Sunday afternoon.
Welcome to the Triple M. Sunday Sydney.
Yes, indeed. We welcome back our sponsors, Bryden's Lawyers, and you can get hold of them for expert legal advice whenever you want to have a chat to Bryden's Lawyers. Look them up on the website, brydenslawyers.com.au. Gordon Tallis, Nathan Brown in for Paul Kent, who's having a day off today. James Triceps Hooper and Maroon here as well. Big game this afternoon at 4 o'clock, Knights Parramatta. We'll get the boys to preview that game in the course of the afternoon, and of course, Dan will call that one for you from 4 o'clock this afternoon. Boys, let's just recap some things that have happened over the last 24 hours or so in rugby league. Starting off with the injury toll to the poor old Canberra Raiders, who have just got so many players out injured at the moment. We wonder where that's going to leave them. But Hodgson, Simonson, Soliola, Horsburgh, Bateman, Omri Gula, it's a big list.
Yeah, it's cruel twist for the Raiders, all this injury list that just continues to compound and mount. And Donnie Furter, the Raiders CEO, has actually confirmed today that it is Josh Hodgson's ACL and he will be missing for the rest of the season. And for young Bailey Simonson, he'll be missing for the next 3 weeks. His shoulder subluxed, so he's going to have some time on the sidelines as well. So the grand finalists last season, they got to play the Roosters again in round 10 coming up. They're going to be tested, the Green Machine.
Horsburgh long term.
Gula long term. Soliola. Underrated. Yeah.
What do you think, Brownie?
Yeah, look, losing all those forwards makes it extremely difficult for the Raiders. This week they'll come up against the Roosters side who'll have a very, very extremely strong bench, as last year the Raiders did. Hodgson's obviously a very, very important player. I still think people aren't seeing the significant importance of John Bateman. I think he was probably their best player last year, in my opinion. And the thing I like about Johnny Bateman is that he brings other players to the contest as well. Other players play with him and want to play with him. He's for him. He's a very unique type of player. Yeah, he's very, very awkward and very different, and he's tough. So him coming back, if they can get Bateman back, and hopefully one or two of these others aren't too long a term, the way they're competing and defending us, they could still put themselves in a position at the end of the year to play footy at the end of the year, but they certainly can't afford to lose any more players.
It's amazing, isn't it, Gordy, how you get that as an NRL club, you get that window of opportunity. Like last year they made the grand final and they probably could have won the grand final, and then you back it up this year where you think they can have a red-hot crack at winning it, the Raiders, and then all these injuries.
Yeah, they were two flick passes away from winning the grand final last year. If Leilua passes and if Latrell don't pass, you know, all that pass doesn't stick. So the Raiders were really good, and I thought that they were going to go along, and that's rugby league. You know, the injuries, but they were good enough to win that game last night against the Melbourne Storm that we said in the first hour that we think that they're the, you know, possibly the favourites now to win the competition, and the Raiders pushed them all the way and they were down on troops and they got a player sent to the sin bin as well. So the Raiders are in the fight. I just because of the history of rugby league and how tough the competition is to win, I always think you need a healthy roster. But if they get on a roll, the Raiders, yeah, they're as good as any side.
Boys, the other thing, of course, that happened last night was that the Broncos had their first win of 7 starts since we returned from COVID. That's the first win they had. With due respect, they beat the team that's, well, the only team that's under them on the competition ladder in the Bulldogs. And now the Broncos have in the next couple of weeks, I think they've got
the Tigers coming up Friday night.
And then they've got, it might be the Roosters.
Melbourne.
So, I mean, if they were to lose that too, they go back to like, I mean, this win they've had, it's not going to count for much.
No, it's a little bit of a false dawn in many ways, Anthony. Look, take nothing away from them. You know, we've already discussed it earlier on the program. They just needed to find a way to get 2 points. They did. Their opposition, as you touched on, has only won one game out of nine so far this season, so I wouldn't be reading too much into it. They'll get some good players back over the course of the next couple of weeks. Katoni Staggs will make a difference, and the same with Dave Fifita when he is eventually back on the field, but still a long way to go, and I don't think anything's set in stone in relation to big decisions around their coach and things like that rolling forward.
What do you mean by that, big decisions around their coach?
Well, Anthony Seibold's obviously been in the headline for the last 6 weeks with plenty of people saying that they thought if they were beaten by the Bulldogs last night that that would be curtains. The Broncos would have to make the hard line call, even though he's got this 5-year deal with an option in his favour for a 6th season, that they were just going to have to make the tough call and just find a way to for a circuit breaker and to go in a different direction. They won, and so as a result, they get a reprieve, and the outside noise will quieten down ever so slightly just for the next week.
Do you know anything of this talk of them being interested in Kieran Foran and Blake Green?
Yeah, I think they'd like to be able to sign them, but the issue they've got at the moment is they're trying to hang on to David Fifita tooth and nail for next season, so they haven't got a whole lot of latitude in their salary cap. I think when they brought Isaac Luke in, they've used...
So hold on, so they want Fifita and Green. Sorry, Foran or Green.
They're looking at Foran and also Blake Green, yes.
They promised that little Tommy Dearden.
Yeah, I know.
He was going to be like
the next number
seven. Darren Lockyer told me that he is our marquee player. He was going to be the guy that was going to be the next Alfie Langer.
Yeah.
Who does, if they could get Foran or Green, if they could, who's he supposed to, whose spot are they, is going? Who's it for?
Well, at the moment, they've got Brady Croft and Anthony Milford in the halves, and then Dearden can't get a start. So it'd have to be either Milford or Croft.
And then what if Jack Bird stays next year?
Well, he's already told them that he is taking up the option, but they're shopping him. They've been trying to push him to St. George Illawarra.
You can only sell what someone wants to buy.
Correct. Mm. They've been trying to push him to St. George Illawarra for about the last 3 or 4 months. They've offered to throw in a bucket load of money, but look, Jack's a damn good player when he's on the field and he's fit, but he has had a lot of injury issues since he has gone to the Broncos. He hasn't been able to take a trick.
Mm.
So, but yes, Anthony, to answer your initial question, the Broncos are having a look at both of those seasoned, experienced playmakers. Interesting thing with Blake Green as well, he's managed by Isaac Moses, who's obviously been in the headlines a lot lately, specifically about his influence at the Broncos.
Brownie, I didn't think that you really answered the question earlier when I asked you about the Warriors job. You confirmed that it's not for you, but why? I know you got like teenage kids and you finally settled back in Sydney, but why wouldn't you take that job? Because you went on to sell it. Like, I mean, if you're buying sponsorship at the Warriors,
I did answer it.
Well, you only said you don't want it. You didn't really say why.
No, I said it wasn't right for me at this stage. With where I'm at, I'm very keen to keep coaching, but at this stage it wasn't the right one.
But why? Can't you elaborate as to why?
Well, I don't think I.
Because you got to move countries.
No,
or?
I don't need to elaborate. I just wanted everyone to understand that it is a good opportunity because I had, without mentioning names, another coach rang me that I actually asking about it because he knew I wasn't interested. Mm. And I told him all the points that I made there for the Warriors that are for the club, but it's just not right for me at this stage. That's all.
Okay, you're not going to elaborate on that at all.
There's not much.
Do you
want to
get the blowtail torch out on Brownie anymore?
Well, I'm
we don't put our own up on the hoist.
Accused him of telling porkies.
I thought I answered it very well, Maroon.
I didn't think you did answer it very well. And, mate, once again, with you, Hoops, mate, you don't have to butt in, all right? He only said it doesn't suit him at the moment. That doesn't tell me why.
Mate, but if you're satisfied, starting to chop him to bits.
Right.
Just he's up. He answered the question earlier.
And these two blokes, now I know what they were giving it to you before. Now I know why.
This is what happens.
You're all very, very unprofessional. Anyway, it's been a funny year for coaches, hasn't it? At one stage or the other, we've heard Paul Green, Paul McGregor, Anthony Seibold, Dean Pay. Obviously, Stephen Kearney has gone. But Dean Pay, is he going to survive this, do you think, Hoops?
Oh, look, speaking to people at the Bulldogs over the course of last month, and I got the impression because of Dean's history with that club, he won premierships there. He won premierships under Chris Anderson, whose wife Lynn is currently the chairperson of the Bulldogs. It's the family club. When Lynn and the board members that she's associated with won control of that club, it was based on the fact that they wanted to get back to the Peter Moore family club style of an era. And so based on that, they've always said they wanted to absolutely give Dean pay until the end of this season. So I'd be surprised if he was moved on before the end of this year, but certainly there are a lot of influential figures around the edges of the club that are pushing really hard for the club to make some hardline decisions sooner rather than later. So there's going to be a board meeting. There'll be a phone hookup board meeting in the next 24, 48 hours, and they've realised that they can't go on with the uncertainty and the constant and questions about players. Who's going to be the coach for next year. And Dean, who has to front up for two press conferences every week, being asked at every press conference, what's the go with your contract? Have you got any better indication off the club? Are we going to hear from any of the power brokers, any of the figureheads at the club?
Brownie, what about, like, with all this talk around coaches this year, I mean, you often hear people say, who would be the head coach of an NRL club? But how would these guys, how would their lives be outside of footy with all this constant jibber-jabber about their futures?
Yeah, look, I think, you know, for the ones who aren't winning games at the moment and, you know, there's different clubs that are in different situations in there. Like, I think, as I said earlier, defending Dean Pay, and I think most of us thought at the start of the year Canterbury were a team that were going to be in that bottom part of the competition, you know, and people sort of said that, yeah, they made a bit of a rally at the end of last year and won five or six games, but you often see sides that aren't good enough rally at the end of the year and win a few games. So there's no pressure on. It's when the pressure's on, you know, and they hadn't really added to their roster for me at all, which is a lot of that salary cap reason why they couldn't. So they've been sort of, I suppose, getting through the past two or three years to get in a situation where they can really start to move forward again. And now they're probably just coming to that point now where they've just added Luke Thompson, who's just got out, and they've got, from what you hear, Hoops and that, say they've got roughly about $3 million to spend. So, yeah, you know, so Dino's probably come in under a bit of a different situation to, say, Siebes or Paul Green, who've got some rosters where they're probably hopeful of doing a little better, you know. So each situation's different, but the one thing they all would have is they'd have some nights where they go home and they stay awake and they probably have some thoughts. Have I got this right? What could I do different? What could I do better? And they'd also have 100,000 people tell them they know better, which generally, most of the time, the people that are in the hot seat at these clubs, they've generally got a better grasp of what's going on than the external people.
Yeah. It's funny with it being the Dogs, because I can sort of, I remember the first grand final I ever sat down to watch when I was eight was a 74 grand final. The Dogs played in that grand final, but they didn't win. But ever since then, in my entire life of watching footy, the Dogs have been one consistent thing of finals, grand finals, premierships, finals, grand finals, premierships. Do you ever think we'll see the Dogs as one of the higher powers in rugby league again?
Oh, they'll be back. Yeah. This period, you make a good point, Maroon. It does happen occasionally. This period, this last sort of decade, has actually been the least successful decade probably in the history of the Bulldogs.
Club that has played in finals or grand finals in every decade.
Right. Correct. So you can go back to Warren Ryan and 84 and 85 and those premierships and that great rivalry that they had with Parramatta. Then Folksy, Steve Folks, won a competition with him 2004.
In a grand final and lost the grand final to Folksy against... when Gordy stole that Clive Churchill medal off Tony Carroll.
Oh, 98.
Yeah.
Folks coached
him then as well.
1998, he did. So they have got a really proud history and a strong history. And what they've been good at over the years, the Bulldogs, is if they realise that they're in a rut, they can do a recalibration and reset, and they can get themselves back in the zone of being competitive quite, pretty quick.
Quite financially strong club too, aren't they? Very powerful.
Because of the Leagues Club. Very powerful. Spot on, Brownie.
Who are very supportive of the football
Absolutely.
Club.
They tip a heap of money into the football club, and that's why generally they are able to rebuild and put themselves back in a strong position fairly swiftly. This period that they're in at the moment is probably one of the toughest windows in the history of the Bulldogs.
Well, we hope they're okay and we hope they survive long term, and we're sure
they'll survive.
Yeah. Great club, Doggies. Gordy Tallis, Nathan Brown, James Hooper and Maroon here doing it for Brydens. We're going to take a break, come back. We'll talk about that Rabbitohs-Tigers game, which got nasty in parts, and we'll preview those two games this afternoon. Dogs-Dragons, Eels-Knights as Triple M rocks the footy.
Sunday Sinbin is full of experts. If you're looking for expert legal advice, have a chat to Bryden's lawyers. Triple M rocks footy.
The Triple M Sunday Simbi.
Nice to be with you on a Sunday afternoon.
Triple M rocks footy.
Now let's talk about this Rabbitohs. I've still got to have my Chinese meal. Rabbitohs one.
Where are you going to go for Chinese?
Probably just go down to the juniors, down the juniors down there.
Jewies.
Nice and close to, you know, the Imperial, and go in there and have some Sang Shui Bao and whatnot. Well,
are they open? I don't think clubs are open.
Yeah, clubs are open. Yeah,
oh, they
yeah.
I've
had dinner at Bankstown RSL last night. I'm doing the circuit. I've been to more clubs than Slim Dusty.
Wenty? Did you go to Wenty Leagues recently?
Mm. I went to Wenty the other night, Bankstown RSL last night. I think it was at Wenty on, might have been Thursday night.
Do a good foe out at Bankstown RSL.
It's absolute. I'm going to take you out there once you get back into my good books, and it's just going to be.
You still on the side of the buses out at Bankstown?
I think I am, mate. Yeah, I can't walk the streets of Bankstown. I can't walk the streets.
Yeah, and the poor driver goes through so much fuel because they can't drive past schools with these brakes on it. It scares the kids.
Geez, I've got feelings too. Yeah, idiots. Right. Okay. Souths beat the Tigers in that game the other day. Dane Gagai scored 3 tries. It was good to have James Roberts, the jet, back to some of his scintillating best. Where do you, Brownie, have the Rabbitohs? Are they a grand final side?
I don't see them as a grand final side this year. I see them more, whatever they do this year, they'll do better next year. Mm. I think, they've got some real top line forwards there. Obviously, Cameron Murray, Liam Knight hasn't played Origin, but someone who, if he keeps going, you'd think.
What, you think Liam Knight will play Origin?
Oh, if he keeps going the way, like if he develops, if he gets that 60, 70 games and, he's obviously had his off field troubles, if he keeps his career going on the path it's on, I could easily see him being a high quality player. Jaden Sewell's really starting to find his way, which he's doing now what everyone expected him to do as a kid. He's a very highly talented player. I think next year with obviously Arrow coming, I wouldn't be surprised if they've got plans to try and bring in another forward. And with young Suwali, the talent that he's got, everyone says as soon as he turns 18, he's going to find a spot in the back line somewhere. I think next year's their window will come open. I think they're just their forwards all work out, but I just think they're a little short in the forwards to be able to do well enough this year.
Mm.
It's tough replacing Sammy Burgess and John Sutton and those sort of players, isn't it?
It's very hard unless you recruit a Sam Burgess to replace a Sam Burgess. It's very extremely difficult to replace a player of that caliber. And, to lose Sam, to lose John Sutton, and to lose Tom, all 3 blokes who played in the Premiership pack, to lose them all at once, and they haven't really gone to the market to replace them at this stage. Well, they may have thought they were going to get Joy Arrow, I don't know, but they've certainly got another high quality forward in Joy Arrow coming to go, the ones we just spoke about. As I said, I wouldn't be surprised if Wayne had plans to maybe find another forward and maybe let a back or two go because Suwali's coming, and then that window will open back up for them again.
Well, they had a dip at Fifita over the summer. So Sammy Burgess went up to Brisbane and tried the big sell on, and it was a big contract. I think it was 5 years and around the $6 million mark or something like that. But he didn't want to come to Sydney, and so he's still got a decision to make about whether he stays with the Broncos or he joins the Gold Coast.
Mm. Yeah, so.
But those players that have gone now from South, so not much we can do about those. Yeah. If you took over at the Rabbitohs tomorrow, what are you saying to Latrell Mitchell and where are you playing him?
I like the fact that they're giving him a good shot at fullback. They haven't changed him in the short term. It's obviously what's been told to Latrell before he went there. I'm not too sure what's gone on in those conversations, but it was quite clear when Latrell first got there he'd had a different preseason. His fitness seems like he looks leaner and trimmer now. I've got no doubt if Latrell Mitchell wants to do the work and get the fitness levels to the right sort of zone, he can be an outstanding fullback. And I think Latrell will tell Wayne those stories by the way he performs over the season, not over 6 or 8 weeks. And if Latrell gets it really, really, really right and it progresses how they hope, Wayne will keep him as the fullback. If he doesn't, Wayne can move him back to left centre and find a fullback. Mm. So it won't be a disaster because I don't see South Sydney this year. Will they make the 8? They're a good chance of that sort of 7-8 spot, 6-7-8, but I don't see them in the top 4 or 5 teams this year.
We get caught up and we fall in love with players and they change the game, so everybody has to play like that player.
Yeah, exactly.
Where Billy Slater changed the game and then now everybody's got to play that style of fullback. Latrell is not him.
Mm.
David Fifita is not a cardboard cutout on the edge that runs that line, that courage line, and they do that every week, like a Gavin Cooper. He does stuff that you cannot do. But that's what Luttrell's got. Luttrell's got something. And if I was coaching Luttrell, I'd say, hey, Luttrell, I want you to bring your boots on Sunday, but you come prepared to have a go on Sunday. So whatever you've got to do between now and then, you work it out because you're going to be judged on Sunday. He's one of those guys that you just want him in your dressing room happy and ready to have a go for his teammates because he's just so special.
And if he really, really wants to be the fullback, he'll tell Wayne that with his performances over the course of the year, but you can't expect him to go from playing centre where he was to being this champion fullback straight away. People are a little bit hard on him, but if he really, really wants to do it over the course of the year, he'll get there. And he's a different player, as Gordy just said. He's different to Darius Boyd.
Yeah.
He's different to Kalen Ponga. He's, you know, they're different to the Ted. They've all got their own skill sets. Mm. Some are similar, some are different. But you embrace what you got and get the best of Luttrell.
Absolutely.
He could do anything.
Everybody was chasing a Cameron Smith, but then Cookie's come out and he's got speed, and then you get Hodson that plays his own style of footy.
Harry Grant.
Then Harry Grant plays his own style, then they got the hectic cheese that plays totally different. You know what I mean? But, like, then that's what I love about the game. Like, then when I came into the
comp. Is it the cheese or the wombat?
Oh, well, I like the wombat, but he calls himself Hectic Cheese.
Yeah, right.
I don't know why he calls himself Hectic Cheese.
What's that mean, well, Anthony?
It reminds me of the old Jack Gibson saying, hoops, you can always find cheese in a free cheese in a mousetrap.
Well, what a move. I think Brownie brought that up. But, yeah, so everybody's got to like their style, and that's what I loved about the game when it come back is every team is having their own identity and playing their own style, which suits
this, Gordy, something that Wayne's done, obviously very successful over his career as a coach, is getting players to play to their strengths.
Mm.
So Wayne's not expecting Luttrell Mitchell to get around the field like Billy Slater. He'd be expecting Luttrell to bring certain other things to the table. And when he's doing that, Wayne will be very happy with that. That's one of the keys to coaching is getting blokes to do it. They're good at not expecting to play like someone then totally different to.
Okay, boys, so take a break. We'll come back. We'll preview these two big games coming up this afternoon. Hoops, Brownie, Gordy Tallis and Maroon as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M Sunday Sinbin is full of experts. If you're looking for expert legal advice, have a chat to Bryden's lawyers. Triple M rocks footy. For McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to it, and Bryden's lawyers present the show 4 o'clock today. It's Parramatta taking on the Newcastle Knights, McDonald Jones Stadium in Newcastle, and it should be an outstanding game. Hoops, so too Gordy Tallis and Nathan Brown will take a look at that game for you now. Just having a little bit of a look at some of these players lining up in the Knights squad, Brownie, specifically because you'd have had a lot to do with these kids. Obviously, the first one I want to talk about is Bradman Best.
Yeah, look, Bradman, as everyone's seen, I gave Bradman his debut last year. Towards the end of the year, I gave him a game at on the wing, and then Christian Wolf, when he took over, moved into the centres. Bradman went on the Australian schoolboy tour last year and come back with a knee injury, so he missed a lot of the preseason. But Bradman was one of those kids that it doesn't matter who you are, everyone knew that Bradman Best was going to make it. The challenge for us as the club was to not lose Bradman Best. The club's relationship with his mum and dad is terrific, and, you know, Bradman's done a great path where he played under 16s for the Knights, under 18s for the Knights, 20s, reserve grade and first grade for the Knights. And the more players like that you get in your system that come through and do well, the more chance you got to build in a very strong club. But very, very talented player.
Greatest name.
Mm. Isn't it?
Oh, and love it.
They've got some great names there. Like, you got that other one, Star.
Stafford Toa?
Yeah, Stafford Toa.
So Stafford's from New Zealand. And again, Stafford's played 16. Sorry, he didn't play 16. Stafford's played 18 with the Knights, reserve grade, under 20s, and he's played a couple of first grade games. Very talented player, Stafford. He's a wing centre, but he's a kid. Again, I'm not sure how he's trained on this. You're not being there, but again, he's a very talented kid who we're all expecting to be a good first grade player.
Mm, okay, well, look, this, you know, your forward pack there at Newcastle, not that they're your forward pack anymore, David Clemmer and the Saifidi boys, obviously, Lachlan Fitzgibbon, Herman Sasa, Mitchell Pearce at halfback. This is a good side, but this is a big test for them today.
Yeah, big challenge, Parramatta. Obviously, Parramatta's the leading the competition if they win today. So, obviously, that probably sums up where Parra's at. And, you know, Brad's been at Parra now. I think he's in about his sixth season now. So, they've been building for a fair while now. And in that time, Brad had some ups and downs along the way, but the board stuck with him. And last year, they rose to fifth. And this year, they recruited two players. And when you're only buying one and two players, I always say that you're on the right path if you don't need to buy a lot. And, you know, they've obviously had a bit of a pretty good plan in place. So they've added two more quality players to their roster. The big challenge for the Knights will be, one, how they handle the outside backs for Parramatta, because they are big men, you know.
Sivo,
Blake Ferguson,
Wunga Blake,
you know, they're big men. And then their middles are big and mobile as well. You know, Campbell Gillard and
Junior Paulo is one of the form props of the corp.
And then Nathan Brown at lock, you know, plays a very different style of footy to this Nathan Brown. I'll give you the tip.
And Sivo plays very different to Chucky Aaron.
Yeah, so that's where the Knights will be, you know, the Knights folks will be, how can we control those sort of big men at the back and then control their middle? And one of the things you have to do against Parramatta with those blokes is you have to get at least 50-50 time in possession. So not only getting through your sets, but also where Mitchell Pearce can leave the ball. And, you know, if Pearce can sort of get, you know, win some repeat sets, that'll be a real key, because if you've got to make them do a lot more tackling what they'd like, it's a lot of juice for Junior Paul on them blokes to carry the ball. So that where the Knights leave the ball and how much possession they can actually have will play a fair part in the contest.
Mate, I hope they don't forget what a great job you did with this club, because if you take Andrew McCulloch out, that squad's pretty much yours.
Oh, look, there's a lot of people that put hard work into that, Maroon. There's plenty of other people that were there. You know, when I first started, it was Matty Gidley and Darren Mooney, you know, so we sort of worked really hard together, you know. Obviously, Gids was CEO and he supported decisions like the one with Kalen Ponga, which I'm not sure every CEO would support that, you know, but Gids really supported me and Moons there. So there's a lot of work that a lot of people put in, you know. There's some coaches that worked there in the initial stages and that aren't there anymore, not only me, that have sort of went through some tough times too. So there's a lot of people that put a lot of work in, and there's a lot of people that support a lot of people. So it's good for Knights, and hopefully as the club keeps developing, and I mean, at the end of the day, clubs like the Knights in the 90s and early 2000s, you know, going up to the stadium there when there's 25, 30,000 people, that's what rugby league's about.
Mm. Who wins today?
I slightly lean towards Parramatta today. I think, you know, the Knights obviously had the disappointing game against the Cowboys, and last week against a fairly understrength Manly, they probably weren't as they obviously toughed it out and hung in there to get a good victory, but they'll probably need to improve a little on their last couple of performances to beat how well Parramatta's going.
Yeah, I think Parramatta are on top of their game at the moment. A bit like the Roosters, they're in that patch where everything seems to be going along nicely, and Knights are still working towards, you know, their best performance.
Mm. I love that story from Marathon Stadium, Gordy. You would have played there back in the old days. They used to hose the away dressing team.
Oh, those John's brothers.
Oh, it was shocking.
Mate, you know what? They'd get there early,
so
just hose
be wet
out
and
dressing room.
Cold and miserable, and couldn't put your gear anywhere.
Not only would it be wet, what about when you went to have a shower, Gordy? Like, you'd have blokes getting heads through the window abusing you. I won't say what one bloke called me once. He called me a shark something. and then you got to run around in the shower to try and get a drop of water on you.
Oh, it was cold. It was cold.
And they're in luxury down the road. It was brilliant.
It wasn't the only place. But then that's what it was about, wasn't it? You know, you'd go to some grounds and it'd be horrible. And at Brookvale, they'll always, you know, on top of you. And you go to Penrith and you could just smell the Jim Beam and Coke on their breath. That's how close they were. mate, when I got in that fight with Ben Ross, right, so we got in a fight and I'm got, you know, sent off or sin bin and I'm running off, and it was round one, it was 40 degrees. So when it's 40 degrees, you don't normally sit and drink, you know, like a
not
black
Jim
rat.
Beam and cola weather.
Or like a white night, you know, like at that time of day, you know. Like you normally get a cold beer. Just I've run off. Well, I reckon I got hit with at least 15 litres of bourbon. As I got in the thing, mate, the poor Bun, who's the manager down there at the Melbourne Storm, I said, "Bunny, what is it? I need a shower, mate. You need to get me a new jersey and shorts and socks." I was thinking, mate, my eyes were burning. Mate, I thought I got beaten up. Mate, I thought someone maced me. I thought Penny Ross had some mace.
Right. So you like Para today, Gordy?
Yeah, I just think that they're going better at the moment.
All right, Brownie likes Para. What about you, Hoops?
I reckon the Knights, Sunday sunny arvo, they can hang in the contest. They might just be able to cause an upset. Parra haven't played away from Bankwest either so far this season, so it'll be interesting to see how they go.
So you're going for the upset?
Yeah, I'm going for an upset, yep.
Looking forward to that game this afternoon, and if you are going to listen to it via Triple M, Dan will be here to call that game for you in 16 minutes' time. It's the game of the day, the match of the day. It's the Knights and Parramatta on the Triple M network. We might take a break. Manly and Dragons fans will come back and take a look at that game for you next as Triple M rocks the footy.
Thanks to Ream Hot Water. Triple M rocks footy. Thanks to Ream Hot Water. Triple M rocks footy.
And welcome back to it. What a great day it's been today. We've had been absolutely chock-a-block with stuff to talk about. Plenty going on in rugby league. Our number 133353, if you've got anything to say before we part company. Lots of people have given us feedback via the email and at @MMNRL saying it's great to have Nathan Brown in today. A couple of Sorry, Hoops.
Who's on the emails, Anthony?
Well, just there's no one. Just a couple.
Bruno.
A couple from a couple in general.
Bruno down in Little Bays normally.
No, Bruno's didn't. Oh, hang on. There is one here from Bruno. It says, "Hey, hi, Maroon. Doing a great job. I thought Gordy Tallis was responsible for interrupting people, not Hoops. Well, Bruno, I know where you're coming from there. The other game tonight, of course, we're doing. We're doubling up tonight. We're doing a. We're double dipping. We've got the Manly Dragons game to follow. They've been disappointing this year, your old club, the Dragons, Nathan. Where are the Dragons at the moment?
Oh, look, they're probably fallen away, I suppose, in some areas where they've, some of their local juniors haven't come on for whatever reason, or they've lost some ones who have gone well at other clubs. We can't underestimate the Jack DeBellin situation.
Mm.
So losing Jack DeBellin, obviously, for the period of time they have, not only whilst he's still on the cap, but he's still training every day with the club, and he's probably, in my opinion, their best player.
What do you think, as a coach, what's the issue with him being at training?
I don't see there being an issue with him training. I just think that he's a huge loss for the football club, what he does for the team and how he helps other people play well. At the start of the year, when your best player that's currently playing in Tyson Frizzell signs with another club and openly says, "I'm going to the Knights because I want to win a comp," that doesn't matter how we put that, it doesn't look like there's much confidence coming from your best player and the rest of the squad. So they've had some things that haven't gone quite as well. You know, some of the things that have been a little positive from lately, the young halfbacks come in who they've developed through their system and looks like he's...
Clune
looks like a bit of a player. For whatever reason, the side seems to look better when Hunt's at hooker and McInnes is at lock. For whatever reason, I've never worked with any of them players, so I can't tell you that it's 100% the right thing. But when you watch them from an outsider, it certainly looks like it works better for that football club.
Well, he's got less decisions to make over the 80 minutes, Ben Hunt.
Yeah.
And he's a natural runner, Brownie. Like, you get blokes that just want to run, and that's what they're best at. They put him in a position where they got to pass a bit more than they got to run.
And Tarek Sims obviously has been suspended, and last year was injured after a good year the year before. So they've had a few things that haven't quite worked out in the coach's favour. That's for some of the things that the coach can't control has probably played a bit of an impact on them as well.
Looking at them, though, like, we've had endless discussions here over the last few weeks about the back five of Parramatta or the back five at Penrith, just to take those two clubs as an example. And the poor old Dragons have got so much work to do in that area. They're just not on the same playing field in that area alone.
Yeah, no, they're certainly behind the eight ball compared to some of the clubs you just mentioned. And for the club to, I suppose, progress and move forward, you know, some of those areas would need some fixing. It looks like with young Lomax going to right centre, they look like they've found his position. Obviously got young Saab coming through who hasn't played much yet, but he had a really interrupted preseason. He's only a young kid and he had a big shoulder reconstruction, so he missed a lot of physical work in the preseason. But again, he's 6'3" and big and mobile, so he looks like he's a player that could help solve another problem there. And then they've got a bit of money to spend in the recruitment market as well. So they've got some big decisions to make moving forward to help the club, I suppose, progress. But the biggest thing that, from me, from an outsider looking in, is, again, the Dragons, just like Penrith, just like all clubs, when they're producing a core group of good young players, their clubs are in much better positions.
Okay, let's talk about Manly leaving the Adam Fanua Blake thing to one side. We are all appalled by that, but Manly have had a good year, but a wretched run with injuries as well. Who wins this game today, Gordy?
I think Manly. You know, they last week they nearly knocked off Newcastle. I think where the Dragons are, you give them a chance, but if they play to their ability, you think Manly's going to be too strong. Yeah, simple as that.
For me, if Manly are fit, Lavoie fit, they're a top four team with all their players fit, but people forget their number one hooker hasn't been playing.
The whole year, young
Tongan boy, he's an outstanding player.
Yeah,
Tom Trbojevic is obviously out, who's outstanding player. Walker's their number one 5'8", who's a very good player. So three blokes in what people class as your four sort of most sort of key positions, there's three of them aren't playing, and they're very, very good players. So when you replace those blokes, you can't possibly replace them with blokes that are anywhere near as good. They can't possibly be, because they'd be playing for someone else otherwise. And then now you lose Fanua Blake, who's got to be in the if he's in that sort of top three, four front rowers in the world now. So they've lost a real lot of strike. But what they did last week against the Knights side, who's been having a lot of success with attacking football, is, you know, Knights got a try from a charge over from dummy half and a kick. So what they have, apart from one game this year, Manly's managed to do without all these good players is defend very well.
Mm.
So for the Dragons to win, they'll need to play some very good attacking footy, because I don't think Manly's going to surrender.
Yeah, it's been a hallmark of Desi Hasler as a coach, hasn't it, Brownie? Defence. He loves to try and really instill a sharp system and make sure that his players are never going to give up in that effort department. And as they always say, you know, defence is all about attitude. So based on that and what you've just said there, I lean slightly towards Manly. But they are missing, and you can't understate it. Like Tommy Turbo, the numbers when he doesn't play, when he does play, they win something like 83% of their games. And then when he doesn't play, it drops to just above 30. So it is a big, big out for them. And when he comes back, they'll be a completely different football side. I think they can go on a run towards the finals. But for now, they just need to try and keep 2 points ticking over.
All right, well, of course, too, they've had a wretched – well, they've had the rough end of the pineapple a couple of times with decision soups.
Just a little bit of late news. Obviously, we've spoken at length about the Canberra Raiders and that rotten luck that they've had in relation to injuries. So the club has now confirmed Josh Hodgson, it's an ACL, and he will be missing for the rest of the season. But it's actually worse than first thought for Bailey Simonson. He needs to go and consult a shoulder surgeon, and that's also looking as though that could also be curtains for the season for him too. So rotten luck further for the Green Machine.
Absolutely. So that's Soliola, Simonson, Hodgson, Horsburgh,
Bateman.
Bateman's
a way off. Bateman's still another, I reckon he's nearly 2 months off.
Wow.
He's still another 6-8 weeks away.
And their next couple of games, Roosters, Souths, Cowboys and Panthers. So they'll be hanging on by the skin of their teeth. You all like...
So, thought you were going to say something else, Anthony, but you did well.
Well, that's right, because you're not a professional and I'm a professional.
That's so debatable.
We're all going Manly today?
Yes.
All right, Brownie, you're actually calling that. You're on the call team for that game.
Yeah. Calling that game. I'm very hopeful the Dragons can get a win, not only for me, good mate Mary, but for the Dragons and the Dragons fans. It'd be nice if they could find a way to get to sneak a win, because they were showing some good signs. They got two wins, played really good against the Roosters, and then just went down last week to the Raiders. So they certainly showed some bright signs in the past sort of month, the Dragons.
Oh, you're too kind, I think, Brownie, but you're obviously still a Dragon at heart.
It's been a long, long part of my life there, Maroon.
Absolutely.
About 16 years, I think. So.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a long time. Yeah. Gordy, yeah.
I spent four of the longest years of my life playing with this guy.
All right, Gordy, well,
I loved every moment of it.
Yeah. Well, mate, we love you. Good to have you back in the studio.
Great to be here.
Brownie, have a great call. And Hoops, we'll catch you on NRL 360.
Fox League, the big league wrap later on this evening as well.
Do a little bit of a better job than you've done here today. That's it for us. Dan's got the game next as Triple M rocks the footy. We do it thanks to Brighton.
Thanks to McDonald's. Triple M rocks footy. Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.